Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. War Room Live, third hour is on. So a lot more to cover today, a lot of videos to show you. I want to go now, and this is sort of in context of what we were just talking about, the world order established after World War II that we see crumbling all around us. This topic was covered by Daryl Cooper on the Tucker Carlson podcast. He laid it out rather well. Here he is from the Tucker Carlson appearance last week. Let's watch.
When you say the Nuremberg system, what does that mean?
It means, there's a lot of elements to it having to do with geopolitics and warfare. But from the standpoint that we're talking about right now, you know, it's this idea that for people to live historically in the sense that I just described it is something that is dangerous and to be targeted and broken down. And you saw this really on domestic social levels. I mean, you see it. I mean, it's not as if that left-wing government in Spain is not part of the problem. You know,
they clearly are.
But here in the United States, you know, you saw the effects of it over the course of the second half of the 20th century where, you know, you had our cities back in the day that were sort of these organic communities with separate neighborhoods divided by ethnicity and religion that were not in conflict with one another. They had arrived at compromises over the years and ran their cities in an organic way. And people were part of, you know, they were plugged into communities that watched them be born and that would watch them die and that their kids would grow up in and know that their kids were going to grow up in. And they sensed themselves as these people. You know, they understood themselves as part of this living community that was going to continue on afterwards. So it was important for them to make sure that the things they inherited were given to the people that that came along after their period of stewardship. And over the course of the second half of the 20th century, I mean, it was official U.S. government policy essentially to use mass migration, generally of African Americans from the South, as bludgeon weapons to go in and break these communities up and drive these people out to the suburbs, drive them out to other areas where, you know, that old parish church that used to be all, Italian Catholics, you go drive through there now in Newark and it's maybe some old grandmas who are still there, but everybody else lives 45 minutes away now. So nobody goes there anymore. And all of those communities were broken up by force very often and through violence indirectly, on purpose. And it was because they were looked at as something that was potentially, that when people are living in a way where they sense themselves as part of a larger project, the idea after World War II was that that can and in fact will almost inevitably get out of hand. And
Get out of hand in what way?
Well, the way that the Germans got out of hand. I mean, that's, you know, the idea that they start taking themselves too seriously and thinking of their historical mission too seriously, and they start to act on it in the world in a way that is dangerous to others. That was the idea, right? And of course, there's only one group, at least in the Western world, that we decided that doesn't apply to, and it's because they were the ones who were the victims of the Germans. So the Israelis, the Jewish people in general, very much live historically, and their right to do that and ability to do that is, you could say it's the central and primary, certainly foreign policy, but even with a lot of domestic policies, mission of the U.S. government and the sort of Western European NATO system in general. It's a central focus of that, which is very strange when you think about it, until you realize that we're living in the aftermath of Nuremberg. We're living in the aftermath of the Second World War. And we're probably coming up to the end of that cycle right now. I think that we're reaching the point where everybody who was around back then is gone. People who remember it directly and who have the real enthusiasm for it that was born out of direct experience is probably fading away. That seems to be the historical cycle every 80 to 100 years, you know.
Very interesting stuff. Living historically, in other words, seeing your place in history and your role in it as a positive good that should be continued and even expanded, that's only reserved for certain people. That is, everybody who's not a white Christian person. Make your own conclusions from that. We'll get back on the other side and talk about all the other groups trying to take over in not very subtle ways. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, My Decision. and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I hope you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We make it easy for you to do so. I've got a lot, like too much. Like, I just, at a certain point, I can only get to so much in a single day. I'm going to have to save so much of this for tomorrow. And I've got videos. I've got articles. I could just spend this last hour strictly reading headlines. That's how much news I have. I think maybe I'll save some of the coverage of, well, maybe for balance. Maybe it'd be a good thing now for balance to talk about the DSA. Once again, I had trouble, a little bit of trouble today, dividing my stories into categories because there's so much overlap. There's so much fuzziness between the topics. In other words, I want to talk about the takeover of the socialist DSA, but also incumbent with that, coming along with that, powering a lot of that, is the Muslim takeover, the immigrant takeover, but specifically Muslims, the case of Zoran Mamdani, of course, being a major one. I have a ton of videos that expose, you know, the real motive behind these people. So I think maybe we'll talk about that. As if we needed them to admit it, the story's at alexjoneslive.com. We're here to destroy the white race. Democratic Socialists of America war, I almost said war hero. He's never been to war. What are you talking about? DSA hero declares war on West. Marxist streamer Hassan Piker has emerged as an incredibly visible, if unofficial, spokesman for the DSA's rapidly expanding political action network. He campaigned for Michigan Democrat candidate Abul El Sayed and Washington, Wisconsin, gubernatorial candidate Francesca Hong, while cultivating close ties to socialist New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani. From an electoral risk perspective, Piker is becoming a liability for Democrats. His far-left anti-American rhetoric provides Republicans with what we called a gift last week. Even Hillary Clinton warned on Friday that the GOP's anti-communist messaging is very effective. Hillary Clinton saying it's not just about Michigan, but the Republican messaging is communist socialist. It's going to be a very effective attack. Okay, but what about the anti-white stuff? Can we talk about this? Can we discuss the fact that multiple popular left-wing so-called socialist communist agitators are just literally foreign invaders who are open about their desire to literally rape and kill white people as a policy? As a policy. Can we talk about that a little bit? I'm a little bit more concerned with that than anything else. And again, I got so many videos on this topic in particular that it's I'm gonna have to judge here exactly what to do. Let's go clip number 7 first. This is Hassan Piker making quote unquote inflammatory remarks about immigration, capitalism, Hezbollah, and Islamophobia. Here's DSA spokesman, whatever his name is, Hassan Piker, just saying what every Democrat believes in their heart of hearts. Let's watch.
We're going to keep bringing in immigrants in this country on even your daughter. We're going to destroy the white race, bitch. That's what we're here to do.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Oh, amazing. That's so surprising to me. You're telling me you're not here to help us? You're telling me that, you know, white America wasn't choking on its own whiteness before you arrived here to rescue us from our own whiteness? We're going to keep bringing immigrants so they can abuse your daughter and destroy you. Okay. Again, why do we even have to argue with it? Like, if our government was even remotely responsible, the dude would be expelled from our country. He'd be sent back to Turkey, and he'd love it. He'd love it there. But then, of course, and this is what I think, like, in order to truly understand and interact with the political sphere in an effective or reality-based way, you've got to understand who these people are, where they're coming from, and what they're doing. This is a struggle for specifically white people, specifically Christians, specifically boomer, white Christian boomers. You're just the perfect target for this type of deception because it can be so confusing if you take any of them at their words, any of their words. In other words, there's a, you know, he's on, it's like, I keep wanting to call him Mom Donnie. I keep getting all these people mixed up. Hassan Piker is on video right there talking about wanting to destroy the white race, bringing in immigrants on purpose in order to destroy the white race. And then when people call that out, he goes, lol, I'm white though. No, but I'm white though. So isn't this so funny? And this might be confusing because you're like, well, wait, I thought he hates white people. He wants to destroy white people, but he thinks he's white. Or maybe he's talking about he's white presenting. In other words, he gets white privilege because he's not black. So therefore, as the culture sees it, he's categorized like in the government files as quote unquote white. So therefore, it makes no sense to point out that he wants to kill white people. And when it, you know, you're in this mess and it's a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive, when you're in the chaos and the maelstrom of all of these lies flying about, it's good to remember they don't believe anything that they say, and they're all perfectly fine with that. They don't believe it either, right? Because you can imagine a world in which any of them actually believe anything they say, in which case Hassan Piker saying, I'm white, I guess he'd go on the bad call. I guess he would then become a despised white person. Anything that he said that was good, it would have to be some sort of trick to trick you into white supremacy. But they don't have any consistency. They don't believe anything that they say, and they're all aware of this and perfectly fine with it. You really need to understand that, like, they, like, nothing they say means anything at the end of the day. Like, really, honestly, I'm not even exaggerating. I'm not being hyperbolic. Nothing they say means anything. They're motivated entirely by seething hatred and jealousy of people they aren't, and they just want to destroy it. And they'll say whatever it takes to do that, to achieve that. That's it. It's pretty simple, actually. You could ignore everything that they say. Because again, if you look at you know, somebody like Hassan Piker saying, but I'm white though, it's like, well, what? This is, what does he mean? What he means is, I don't care about your criticisms. I don't care. I'm a hypocrite. I don't care about any of this. I'm here to destroy you. Like, that's, just hear the translation in your mind, because that's what it actually means. And there's evidence. And I'm not just saying this either. There's obviously very pertinent evidence for all of this. Let's go to clip number 6 here. This is Abdul al-Sayed rejecting Hassan Piker. Now, remember what I just said. So as you listen to Abu al-Sayed, you know, attempt to differentiate himself from Hassan Piker, remember, he's lying. Hassan Piker's lying. They're all lying. They know they're lying. They're happy to lie. Again, I'll show you more evidence of this in just a second, but here's Abu al-Sayed, or whatever, guy who just won his primary, attempting to create some distance between himself and Hassan Piker in an entirely fabricated and made up and falsified way. Let's watch.
So again, I'm a lot more focused on who I'm campaigning to rather than who I might campaign with.
When asked about Hassan Piker's comments on 9/11, Senator Bernie Sanders called it a dumb statement. Do you agree? Do you disavow those comments that America deserved 9/11?
Of course. Of course it was a dumb statement. And of course, I think Hassan himself would say that was a dumb statement. He disavowed it. So yes, America didn't deserve 9/11. But, you know, to sit here and play gotcha politics with a dumb thing somebody said out of context that they disavowed themselves to say, oh, well, what does that mean about what you think? I want to be held accountable for what I say and what I do, rather than this idea that we're so stuck in cancel culture that all of us agreed was a bad idea back in 2020, but we seem to want to bring back.
We are out of time, but I have to ask you before I let you go, if you win, you will be the...
Yeah, you know, we all hated cancel culture back then. You know, this Abu al-Sayed guy, I'm sure he was right there with us in 2020 calling for free speech, defending people who are getting fired for saying the N-word, right? Because we all understand free speech. Like, it's just... It is so depressing knowing how many people are going to fall for this. Like, that at the end of the day is my takeaway, is just knowing that there are people that are just like, but he said he rejected it. And again, the sort of casualness, like, I don't know why I'm being held to some statement that even the guy himself, said he did. The man said America deserves 9/11, and he said it multiple times. And saying that wasn't a smart thing to say is not actually disavowing the thing that was said. You're just saying you should keep it secret. It's almost like they can't even help be like, well, it's fine to believe that, but you shouldn't say it. It's like, this is why you're a bad person that should never be given any sort of power in our government ever. Ever. Just like Zoran Mamdani. And they're like clones of each other, and they're all completely full of crap. Let's go to clip 32 here. This is Zoran Mamdani in a suspiciously thick accent talking about basically using identity to get elected by progressives despite not being progressives. Let's watch.
I think that with the interesting thing about our communities here is I think that minority communities, because we have never had representation, we are tied much more to identity. White communities, they've had representation forever. And so for them, their tie is a little less identity and a little more ideology. And so what I mean by that is we have a lot of voters here who think of themselves first as progressive voters. Mm-hmm. And so we reach out to them speaking about our platform, our progressive platform. And you're very right that you need someone in the middle to be a validator, someone to tell them to trust us, believe in us. We've had that with Tiffany Caban and Cynthia Nixon.
We need somebody to cover for us. We need somebody to convince the progressives that we're on their side so we can infiltrate and gain power. That's what I heard. I'm not sure what you heard, but I don't know if you need to. I don't know if this needs to be said, but Muslims, not exactly progressive. In fact, deeply, deeply, and I won't even say conservative because it's not American conservative. They aren't, doing anything to conserve actual American foundational morals or people or anything, but they do want to keep their women in trash bags, and they do think rape is, quote unquote, a spectrum. We'll get to that clip in just a second. But let's first see a example of Taqiya, sort of the Islamic version of some other things that exist out there in the world. It's, in other words, it's just saying you can lie. You know, lying is bad. It's a sin unless it's in service of gaining power for Muslims, in which case it's incumbent on you to perform taqiyya. Let's go to clip 38 here. This is sort of behind the scenes leaked video of Abdul al-Sayed setting up a shot for a video he's putting out. Here he is talking about the set decoration. Let's watch.
And the other one.
You're going to want to not get these things in the shot.
Oh, okay.
I don't think we can.
Try to keep the shot secular.
Is that not, do you see what, did you hear what he just said? Do you understand what was just said on camera? We want to keep the shot secular, so don't show the Qurans that we have on our bookshelf. Straight up taqiyya. Straight up, if people knew that we were Muslim extremists, if they knew that we were religiously committed to this conquering religion, then they probably wouldn't vote for us. So we want to be perceived as secular, want to be perceived as religious moderates. So we better not show the evidence that we're not. We better not show the evidence of our religious adherence with all the Qurans that we have displayed, you're going to want to not get these things, the Qurans in the shot. Try to keep the shot secular. That's Abul al-Sayed in 2018. Again, just like the one of the most blatant examples you could ever hope for what Takiya looks like and how it's expressed. That they know that if you knew what they were really like, you'd never vote for them. So they see it as a moral imperative to pretend to be something they're not, to trick you into voting for them. If we had an informed and intelligent and reasonable voting base, that would be enough. And this is one of those things. I do this with just about everything I want to talk about. I first think, what if it was the other way around? What if it was the other way around? I would also not trust a Christian who says, you better not film the Bible. We want to keep this shot secular. I wouldn't like that either. I wouldn't trust that either. Not sure it would ever happen unless you were a liberal. Like, we might have different reasons for this, right? The Muslims are like, well, I guess it's kind of the same thing. Like, if you had a Christian person that was like, don't show the cross on the wall because I'm trying to get elected by liberals and they hate Christians, I'd be like, you shouldn't trust that person. You shouldn't trust that person. If they're willing to hide their religious conviction for the sake of getting elected, they're untrustworthy and shouldn't be elected on that basis alone. So this isn't even necessary. Like, again, some things you can point to and you can go, well, you don't like it when they do it. You do like it when you do it. Even that, I think, doesn't necessarily mean hypocrisy. There are some things I want us to do that I don't want other people to do. That's fine. In this case, this criticism is very, like, pure and easy to understand. And anybody who's electing any official should not be okay with that official lying to their faces or setting up a shot to disguise their, you know, actual religion or religious motivations. But people keep falling for these. They keep falling for these people. And just like that Zoran Mamdani clip that we just played, it's because both sides align only and exclusively on their desire to destroy white people. And they both just agree with that. And that's really all they agree with. And that's what is motivating them, obviously. Let's go to another one of these videos. I mean, we have like so many videos of this. The Abul al-Sayed, who's trying to get elected in, I believe, Wisconsin, is caught on hot mic talking about how much he hates literally the most like American and traditional part of his state. Let's go to clip 22 here. This is Abul al-Sayed talking about Oklahoma Sharia law and the ban that Oklahoma put on Sharia law. Let's watch clip 22.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Question 755. When the state of Oklahoma voted in a referendum to amend the constitution to ban Sharia law, what does that mean? I don't know. And yet the voters banned it anyway. And I don't have to tell you that the same exact forces that drove native peoples from their land 2 centuries ago, destroyed Black Wall Street 1 century ago, bombed a building decades ago, and tried to ban Sharia law not a decade ago, that those forces are alive and well today.
Yeah, white Christian people are alive and well. That's true. That is true. And it's a problem he seeks to solve. Al-Sayed campaign, backed by over $100,000 from dozens of members of group with alleged terror ties. Fox News Digital identified at least 41 donors linked to the group named the Holy Land Foundation case. But again, it's one of these things where it's like, he's like, I don't even know what that means, banning Sharia law, but I'm deeply against it. And it's evidence of why white people need to be destroyed. If it's not that big of a deal, if you don't even know what it means, if it's not that big of a threat, then who cares about banning it? It obviously is something that they're interested in imposing. They obviously don't like that it's banned. And that, I think, is enough for you to know that it should be and that we should be aggressively opposing this. And again, he ties in because, you know, white people are, you know, just white people are evil and every other race. And, you know, the problem is there's not a lot of examples of white people coming into contact with other races and losing. So therefore, any time white people came in contact with another race and there was some sort of war carried out there, the white people won and so therefore can be portrayed as evil. Obviously, Islam is a conquering religion whose entire history has been the conquering and subjugation of other people groups by the sword. From the time when the prophet was alive until now, it has done nothing but conquer people. Now, they're not as good at it as white people, but white people are also were never motivated by what Islam is motivated by, abject submission to them, so that the people being colonized can be, you know, exploited and then eradicated and destroyed and replaced with your type of people. That's never how colonialism ever worked in the world history. And the one place you could point to would be somewhere like South America, which is extremely complicated, just like Black Wall Street being destroyed is absolutely nothing like the way that it's being portrayed, and not even remotely. But this is the thing. It's all blood libel. It's all blood libel piled upon blood libel. Black Wall Street was a black guy getting arrested for assaulting a white girl, a bunch of black guys showing up to try to break him out of prison, shooting at white people. They shot first, and then the white people responding in kind. It was a race riot, like any other race riot. Yet the way it's being portrayed now is as if a bunch of white people, for no reason, just decided to burn down a black neighborhood one day, other than an extremely complicated and nuanced conflict between two groups, both of whom have guilt on their side for starting the conflict in the first place. Same thing I would say with the Native Americans. It was never, you know, when the immigrants, when the pilgrims first arrived on the coast of New England, they didn't bring an army, right? They didn't bring people to wipe out a people group. They brought settlers and farmers. And yes, it's absolutely tragic, and I abhor what happened to the Native Americans. I genuinely do. However, I understand that both groups can take blame in the way things proceeded. It's all a little bit more nuanced, but not to the Muslim practicing takia to trick progressives into opening the gate for them. Let's go to clip number 36 here. This is Abu al-Sayed on Hot Mic talking about how much he hates Mackinac Island and hates every visit there. Let's watch.
Please watch your step.
I hate Mackinac so much. It's funny because, like, if we win, this is going to be the, like,
summer home.
I'm just going to be like, every time I've ever come here, I've hated it. Why am I here?
I mean, there's so many things about it. For one thing, imagine running for office in a place and just being like, I hate a large portion of this state. You know, a large portion of the state, I hate it. I hate every time I've been there, which would be absurd enough as it is. But literally just the video itself, they're walking down what looks like paradise. You can hear the clopping of, you know, horses' hooves as a carriage goes by. It's like the most idyllic location you can possibly imagine. And these sewer dwellers are wandering through going, ugh, this is awful. This is just the worst. I hate this. Well, what do you hate? The flowers, the friendliness? Do you hate the low crime? Do you hate the prosperity? No, you hate the white people. You hate the white people and the American culture that's expressed by white people in this iconic and beautiful and historic little town. You absolute scumbag invaders.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Talking about a topic that sort of pervades multiple categories of stories that we're getting into. In other words, you've got the rise of the DSA, the rise of communism, which along with it brings the Red-Green Alliance, the Islamist infiltrators that are clearly lying about their intentions, obviously, and explicitly deceiving progressives and Americans into handing power over to them when they are, in fact, intending to impose things like Sharia law. Tied in with this, you've got AOC, obviously the first and most famous and prominent DSA acolyte in office. She's freezing her eggs at the age of 37, which is crazy. And we can get into that a little bit because she's simultaneously trying to claim that woke 1.0 never really existed and or it was bad, but she wasn't a part of it. And it's just like everything they say are lies, like everything they say they don't believe, or they are genuinely insane people. That's the only other option. Is they actually don't remember what happened in the last 10 years. which would be very disturbing. I mean, it's not true. They absolutely remember and they knew exactly what they were doing while they did it. But I guess what they want us to believe is that before, when they were advocating retarded stuff, it was just a big joke. We shouldn't have taken them seriously. But if we didn't, then they would destroy our lives. And now that they got what they wanted, we're not allowed to talk about how they got there. And then I also want to talk, and we'll see if we can. May have to save it for tomorrow. But over the weekend, some absolutely horrifying videos went viral on X out of North Carolina, where it seems as though, as much as anywhere, you know, more than anywhere else in the country, is where Irina Zarutska was murdered. You've got white people being targeted by deranged black criminals with rap sheets 50, 60, 100 cases long, constantly let out, constantly victimizing white people, specifically and exclusively, never punished for it. And then simultaneous to that, like, what I want to try to illustrate is the motivation of the anti-white hatred is all based on delusion. And I think it's pretty clear when you see all the evidence. And not just a delusion, but a deliberately fabricated lie about history, about the way the world works, about their own condition. And people are indulging in this delusion, not because they believe it, but because they use it as an excuse to destroy their enemies. I assume that that's why they're doing it. I assume they don't actually believe it, but I don't know. I genuinely don't know. So, like, there's so many. We'll get to that. I guess we'll get to that. Because I still got more to talk about. But let's just do it now for a moment. Let's go to clip 66 here. This is a Charlotte woman accused of ramming a police officer and a second man who was released on bond. Let's go to clip 66 here. This is just one of many, many examples of the law just not applying to black people for some reason in North Carolina. Let's watch.
Shit, boss, don't need no counter trick.
Charges dismissed. That's her hitting the officer with her car. And it was absolutely dismissed. No problem with that, apparently. And it's not the only one, obviously. Far from it. We have a lot more videos of kind of this type of thing happening. Whether it's the just vicious attack. I don't even want to show you the attacks of the one guy who's literally going around hunting women, but I guess I probably should. Clip 43, Daquan Hunt arrested after allegedly live streaming assaults on white women, which seem to have given these women brain damage. And one of the reasons why I am covering this right now is because, as far as I can tell, up till now, not a single media outlet has reported on this. Not a single one. Not a national one. Maybe not even a local one. Not to any sufficient degree. And yet, it's like the top story on the weekend all across X. This guy literally hunting, chasing white women, attacking them, assaulting them, giving them brain damage, where you can see these women fall and hit their heads and their hands seize up, which is a clear, you know, sign of damage to the brain. And this just goes on and on. And he gets let out every single time. Every single time this happens. It is completely insane. And again, the numbers, I think do we have that compilation? There's a compilation of this, 35. Let's go to clip 35 here. Or this one's just about the killing of the U.S. Marine. But my God, it really, I have so many of these. But heck, let's go to clip 33 here. Let's go to clip 33.
I spoke with a former SPD officer who arrested this suspect multiple times. I also talked to Georgia State Representative Jesse Petrie and Savannah Alderman Nick Palumbo. They're both shocked, disappointed, and extremely frustrated that this man has been in and out of jail over and over again, wondering why Doyle's seemingly falling through the cracks of the system. 30-year-old LaShawa Doyle is back behind bars, this time facing three felonies. He was arrested Thursday by Savannah police for attempting to rape a woman at the bathrooms in Daffin Park. City staff heard something, went and told an off-duty officer who was able to run over and stop the sexual assault. Alderman Nick Palumbo's district covers Daffin Park.
Time and time again, violated the trust of our community. And I would love to hear accountability from the judge. And I've asked from the district attorney's office their accountability mechanism to what is happening here.
Alderman Palumbo is also reaching out to Judge Claire Williams' office as she presided over most all of the misdemeanor charges Doyle has faced. Georgia State Representative Jesse Petrie also following our reporting of this crime.
Maddie, I was appalled again to discover yet another recidivist criminal who has been, repeatedly in and out of our judicial system and repeatedly returned to the streets.
In addition to this attempted rape this week, Doyle's criminal history is fairly long. He just got out of jail 17 days ago. This is his 8th arrest in 2026 alone. It's his 22nd arrest since 2020. Two of those arrests this year, violent or sexually related. In June, he was arrested for pleasuring himself in front of SCAD's housing for the second time. In February, he bloodied a woman's face at a bus stop. In his last 15 arrests, he's been released on his own recognizance or released on time already served.
Housed or unhoused, mentally ill or no, this is a violent sex offender in our community, and people have a right to feel safe.
Representative Petrie told me as a legislator in Georgia, they've provided every opportunity for the judicial system to hold homeless people accountable for the crimes they or anyone else in the system commits. We'll have way more details in this article online tonight. Live in studio, Madeline Bierster, WTOC.
I mean, what are you even supposed to say? This is beyond incompetence. It's beyond tolerance. It's beyond anything. 8 arrests in a single year, and we're halfway through the year. Every single one of which, or at least the vast majority, are violent or sexually related. And they just keep letting him out. And mostly it's the same judge from Libs of TikTok. Man arrested for attempted rape at Georgia Park has 22 arrests since 2022. 8 in 2026 alone. And was released from jail 17 days ago. Judge Claire Williams is the one who keeps releasing Lashawa Dole. We shouldn't have to live like this. What am I even supposed to say? What am I even supposed to say? If I get in a car accident and drive away without providing my insurance, I'm going to jail. I mean, there's no justification for it whatsoever. And these people are having their lives destroyed. In some cases, I mean, we don't even know because it never gets to trial because they just let the guy go. It's just like, what are we doing here? And genuinely, when is it going to be? I don't even want to say it. But like, it's astonishing. It really is astonishing to me that these judges do this so much because it is their fault. We have given the authority to our government to protect us from criminals. That's why we don't hang them in the square or just shoot them and bury them in the backyard, because we have a system that we rely on to keep us safe. If that system literally does nothing to these people, the system is no longer functional and should not exist. And the people abusing it like this are playing a very dangerous game. And I am frankly shocked it's gone on this long. Like, we only find out about this stuff when the stories go national because what they do is so egregious. But like, the individual people have to be aware of this. So this is Doyle's arrest history in 2026 alone. He was arrested on charges of criminal attempt to commit a felony, aggravated sexual battery, false imprisonment, and public indecency at Daffin Park. That's the most recent one, so I'm sure he'll be out tomorrow for that. Like, that's wild. So, arrest on criminal trespass, released 3 days later. Arrested on criminal trespass, released 3 days, 4 days later. Arrested on public indecency and criminal trespass outside SCAD housing after being caught by SCAD student pleasuring himself in the middle of the road outside. This was a, you know, I'm just, this person should be thrown into the ocean. Like, that's it. He should be, he should have a millstone tied around his neck. He should be tossed in the water and the world would thank you. So what are we doing here? Again, what is this? I'm sorry I can't curse because boy, I want to. But I'm going to lay out a few more of these just to, you know, really emphasize what's actually going on here, what we're actually dealing with, how we actually, what the reality is, because then I want to portray the absolute insanity that is behind all of this. Let's go to, there's one here. I mean, my God, the number of things I have, cause we'll relate this back. Let's go to clip 54 here. Oh no. Okay. We're going to get to that. Where's the 10 second one? That's just the compilation. Clip 21 here claims that repeat, offenders are released after literally hundreds of arrests. Let's go to clip 21 here. So the victim and the perpetrator here, and of course, the victim is always brutally either murdered or seriously injured, always or almost always a white person, usually a white woman, and every single person, dozens of arrests, dozens, some of them over 100 arrests in their lives. Again, if this was happening in a, you know, racially equitable way, it would still be completely insane, but it is absurdly obvious. Yeah, 131 arrests. He lights a woman on fire. 131 arrests. One arrest should like ruin your life, honestly, especially if it's violent or sexual in nature. Like, we've got to start punishing these people effectively by torturing them in the town square. I honestly think we need to bring back physical punishment of one sort or another, because this is obviously unsustainable. And obviously being arrested is not a problem for them. Like, they don't care. But apparently neither do the authorities. Again, we can go on and on about this. But the reason it's happening, the reason it's happening this way, is because of the delusion of racism in America, which is so retarded. It really is hard to wrap your mind around. Because the crazy thing is, America used to be at least a little bit racist. America used to have laws where, you know, black people had to sit at the back of the bus. There's a time period where that happened. Even then, if you go back and watch interviews and listen to stories, there was not this seething hatred. There was not this hyperactive paranoia. Even at the time, the heights of the whatever racial violence ever existed in America, if you were to go back to like the birth of the KKK and all this stuff, you still didn't have the level of like paranoid, delusional, psychopathic madness that is currently driving the racial divide here. And once again, just to let's continue laying out the truth. Okay. First of all, we can lay out the absurd, you know, dichotomy of the way different types of people are treated by the American legal system, when you know that Chud the Builder has finally been released from jail after 2 full months behind bars for defending himself when he was attacked because he said a naughty word. They forced him to take a $1 million bond, and he was in prison in absolutely brutal conditions for 2 months. More punishment than literal rapists or murderers get, despite being repeat offenders dozens of times over. Just a little example of some of the racial dichotomy at work legally. From Amiri King, In light of recent and constant black-on-white violence, I decided to create an updated homicide offender chart. What I found will shock you. There, you are 42 times more likely to be murdered by a black male aged 15 through 24 than a white male of any age, 42 times more likely. A black male child aged 5 to 14 is statistically more likely to kill you than a white man aged 35 through 64. Black males of any age are about 14 times more likely to be a murderer than white males of any age. The single highest rate in the entire table is black males 15 through 24 at 110.36 per 100,000. That's higher than the rate for Hispanic males of any age and dramatically higher than every white and female category. Even black males 65 plus still exceed the all ages white male rate. Hispanic males' overall rate is about 3.6 times the white male rate, but still only about one quarter of the black male rate. Black females are roughly equal to white males overall, while white females are always the lowest at 0.66, head on a swivel always. And then he has this chart that goes by, you know, ages on one edge and race on the other. And of course, you can do this also by, yeah, here's the actual image there, which again, now you factor in the story that we covered last week about how white people are constant, or rather non-white people are constantly being labeled white by our justice system, then I doubt these numbers are even real. I bet the white numbers are actually significantly lower, but like 50% of the people booked on murder are called white when they're not. So that's going to skew the numbers a little bit. Absolutely horrifying. But like it turns, like if you were to just isolate the white population in America, our crime rate is equivalent to Switzerland's. Just a little factoid for you there. Again, from Amari King, another chart. This in response to the claim, the constant claim that's always made despite never, ever, ever having any evidence to it ever. From Oh My God Sidewalks, you reduce crime by eliminating poverty. The reason so-called nice neighborhoods have lower crime rate is because people's basic needs are being met. It's not nice because of police alarm systems or neighborhood associations. Poverty creates crime. Poverty creates crime is one of these sayings that just doesn't mean anything. It's just totally fake. It just does not apply to the statistics. If you actually look at the statistics, white people who make less than $10,000 have a murder rate of 7.2 per 100,000. Blacks who earn over $85,000 have double the murder rate. So yes, while you can see that, like, as you increase in income, the rate generally goes down, there's obviously something else at work here that has nothing to do, or is at least largely independent of, the income. It's not about poverty, and it never was. Okay, so now that we have the sort of layout of what we're actually talking about here, we're talking about a system who refuses to punish black people for committing crimes, hundreds of them, no punishment. You can literally try to run over a cop in your car, hit a cop with your car, and be out the next day as long as you're a black female. You've got just endless, vicious, violent, racially motivated attacks against white people. Horrifying ones on film, like the guy filmed himself doing it. That's how, you know, little he cares about justice or, you know, the threat of punishment. Going around live streaming, attacking white women, not covered by a single national newspaper. Not one of them decided to report on the actual news. They're busy fabricating nonsense about how white people are dangerous. So, again, what I'm trying to lay out is, if there were to be a, you know, racial aspect of criminality or the justice system, it's clearly coming from one race and it ain't white people. But then you have people like this. This is a Tennessee state representative, a Tennessee congressman named Joe Towns. He writes, black people are being hung around the country because of Trump's rhetoric. Keep your gun with you and shoot on sight. Deal with the system later. However, stay live. It's time to start hanging those who are hanging you. Screw the rules. They don't work for you. Never have. You must F them up. No exceptions. Evil racist bitches. Save your own damn life and don't trust law enforcement. This is the delusion that's driving a lot of this. What the hell is he talking about? Nothing he said is anything other than a complete and total inversion of the truth. What the hell is he talking? Black people are being hung around the country? You want to point to a single one, buddy? You want to point to a single instance this has happened since the 1950s? So you tell me, this is what I was saying before. Does this guy believe this? Is he that stupid or insane, or is he lying to just gin up racial hatred in the black community? Which one's worse? I don't even know. Is it better that the black politicians are just making up stuff, blood libels against white people to try to encourage violence against them? Or is it better that the dude actually thinks it's real and is living in a state of abject and total delusion? Both are bad. I don't know if one's better exactly. But this is like everywhere. This is a perpetual state, unfortunately. Let's go to clip 21 here. Again, just complete absurdity. Oh, that's one that we just went to, rather. Let's go to clip numbers 54. Clip 54. This was posted on TikTok or, whatever social media. It's two black children in a subway car, and white people are near them. Look what the person said as they published this video. Let's play it. Point of view, watching adults act completely paralyzed just because kids exist near them with different skin color. It's literally just two kids sitting in a stroller with white people standing nearby. What type of paranoid delusion do you have to be in to be looking at like a white guy just like standing there with a shopping bag scrolling his phone and just be like, he's paralyzed with fear because he hates black people? What the hell are you talking about? Like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, literally insane. Not just like, oh, they're kind of like extremist or whatever. No, they're actually insane. And then we go to things like 47. This video, again, published by a black dude. Let's watch. Celebrating it. Like, not shy. Let's watch 47 here. Point of view, just ruined a kid's Christmas. Grown adult black male. Hey, film me, bro. Film me. I'm going to do this. Picks up a white kid, slams him on his tailbone. The kid starts wailing and like twitching, crying because he probably just broke his tailbone. Well, that was fun, wasn't it? A fun time Christmas Eve as a black guy. Go assault a white child and injure them. Meanwhile, you got this. Let's go to clip 46 really quick. 46. Go ahead and roll it. It's a black guy just like encroaching on white girls and being like, look how racist they are. So, come to whatever conclusions you want, but we're being ruled by delusion.
At last, it's here. Bring it into the docking bay. Stack them all in my chambers at once. I now have all the Aquapure Ultimate Water Filter shower heads from the Alex Jones store.
There's something about this water I feel kind of funny. Hey, do you want to hang out tonight?
These stormtroopers are not warriors. They are vessels. We keep them full of chemicals to keep them under control. Like the dark side itself, it dulls the mind. It fractures the will.
Drink your water, troopers. I am sending you to the desert planet of Tatooine. We must crush the rebel force.
Dude, I think I'm gay. Me too. Let's go back to the ship and cuddle. I thought you'd never ask.
Turn around now and get back out there. These are your orders.
They're turning the frogs gay.
Don't let them turn you next. Ha ha ha. You have to admit that Alex Jones is funny.
AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.